93.7 Express FM. We are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing Play Up Pompey. It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
It's back to winning ways for Kenny and Joe.
Header from Harrison. Is it to the back of the net? Ellis Harrison breaks the deadlock.
The Blues saw off for Shrews at the weekend as they battled hard to weather Storm Dennis, but even he couldn't prevent Pompey from making it 10 wins from 12 since the turn of the year.
Harrison wins the ball for Portsmouth and Marquis could be in if Harness plays him. He does. Marquis scores. Game over. 3 points for Portsmouth.
Both Ellis Harrison and John Marquis on the score sheet at Fratton Park on Saturday to retain the side's position in the League One playoffs and edge even closer to the automatic places. We've got a very busy show ahead of us this evening and I'm excited to be back in the mix of it all. A tense end to the season awaits the Blue Army. Tonight, as ever, we want you back home to get involved with the discussion. How far can Alex Bass go? Has he proven to you recently that he is the best goalie at the club? Does the gaffer deserve more credit than he is perhaps getting? And are you pleased with how strong Kenny has said tomorrow night's team will be ahead of the EFL Trophy semi-final? All the details on how to get in touch with us can be found on our website. It's Monday, it's 6 o'clock, and we've got a Pompey victory to discuss, as well as a semi-final to preview. What more could you ask for? On 93.7 FM, DAB, digital radio, and online at expressfm.com, it's time now for the Monday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening and welcome one and all to the Monday Football Hour here on Express FM, which this season is supported by Stagecoach Buses. They provide a cheap, fast and reliable service across the city and all over the South Coast too. Find out more information by visiting stagecoach.co.uk or download the app on either the Apple app or Google Play Store. Coming up on the show tonight, I'm joined once again by sports journalism graduate and Pompey fan Josh Sweetman, and we have a debut in store for Donald Vass, who is the treasurer of the Pompey Supporters Trust. I'll be introducing those two very shortly, and they'll be on hand between now and seven to answer any of your questions from back home, to get involved with all the latest Pompey discussion, and to look ahead to this week's EFL Trophy semi-final tie at home to Exeter City. We've got so much to get through over the course of the next hour or so. So without further ado, let's get started. And we begin by taking a short journey back in time to Saturday afternoon. The Blues return to Fratton Park after two consecutive away days, the second of which they tasted defeat at the hands of Coventry City, having set a club record of 9 wins in a row in their previous outing at Tranmere just 3 days prior. Shrewsbury were the visitors to PO4 on Saturday, and Pompey were hoping to bounce back from the late heartbreak at St Andrews on Tuesday night. Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham were your commentary team for this one.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoots and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He scored!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
Here we go then. Forget the wind, forget the rain. Portsmouth desperate to grab themselves another 3 points on their way towards promotion. Harness chases the ball on the right-hand side, trying to go around the outside of Hart. Good strength from Harness, gets away from him. Can he get the cross in? Whips into a dangerous area. Goalkeeper O'Leary gathers in the end. Harness clears forward and there suddenly could be a Portsmouth counter-attack on. And Curtis has gone round, who looked to be the last man, Roshan Williams, and he gets a yellow card and he'll be breathing a huge sigh of relief. And McGeehan pointing that there was a half of the pitch with nobody there for Curtis. I think Roshan Williams is fortunate. Curtis is trying to set Harness away. Harness into the penalty area. Lots of space. Harness forth wide. Can he pick out a blue shirt? Tried to find Harrison. It's over the bar. Shrewsbury though win it. Oh, there's a mistake at the back and Harness might be able to get Harrison in. Harness will shoot. Hits the legs of the defender and it's going to be gathered by O'Leary. And Bolton's on the overlap down the right. Curtis the only man to aim for. Bolton chips it into the middle. Evans tries an overhead kick. Loose in the area. Shot coming in from McGeehan is blocked. and it's cleared by Shrewsbury. Portsmouth 0, Shrewsbury 0. A bit of a muted response at half-time from the Portsmouth crowd. Probably many of them are rushing to get somewhere in the ground that might be dry for the interval. Conditions weren't ideal first half, but don't think caused any major problems. But that might change as the game goes on. Shrewsbury with a corner kick. Portsmouth to defend. Goalless. In it comes. Left-footed towards the edge of the six-yard box. And Harrison heads halfway. Loose in the area. Shot on goal. Parried by Bass. Still loose in the area. Pompey still can't get it away, and they will now. McGeer to McCrory, trying to get across from the right-hand side. Ball in the box. Marquis, he gets his shot all wrong. Still loose in the six-yard box, and Shrewsbury will get it clear. McCrory round the outside of Beckles. Cross deep to the far post. Header from Harrison. Is it to the back of the net? Ellis Harrison breaks the deadlock. McCrory, the substitute, makes it. Harrison showing strength between the two centre-halves. Past the goalkeeper. It's Portsmouth 1, Shrewsbury 0. Harrison, poor goal kick, no real distance on it. Here's Curtis, one-on-one with the last man. Instead he plays in Marquis, great chance for Pompey. Good save from O'Leary. Shrewsbury goalkeeper keeps his side in the game. Harrison wins the ball for Portsmouth, and Marquis could be in if Harness plays him. He does. Marquis scores. Game over. 3 points for Portsmouth. Error at the back from Shrewsbury, and punished in the most brutal way. An incisive break. Marquis locks it past the goalkeeper. It is Portsmouth 2, Shrewsbury 0. And it's going to go behind for a goal kick. And that's the final action of the game here at Fratton Park. Well, we certainly wish everyone a safe journey home in these conditions. But the Pompey supporters can head home from Fratton Park. It might be wet, it might be windy, but they can head home happy because their side have got the job done and got 3 points this afternoon.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey Live.
The highlights you just heard there of Pompey's 2-0 win at home to Shrewsbury Town at the weekend. The Blues' 10th win in 12 games in all competitions since the start of the year. After the game, Andy went pitchside to gather the thoughts of assistant manager Joe Gallen.
Portsmouth assistant manager Joe Gallen is alongside me. Joe, it was never going to be that pretty out there today, but the job done. How did you get the job done?
Yeah, job done. That's a good way of putting it, really, because it was a tough game because the conditions with the wind, really. The rain doesn't affect too many things, but the wind does affect a game of football, doesn't it? And so the wind makes it a little bit more difficult, certainly. And then a tough opponent than Shrewsbury, who came up, you know, with a very defensive setup, a very big back five there, and it was very tough for us to break them down. So I thought Shrewsbury played very well, and in order for us to break them down, we had to really work at it. And but you just always get the feeling going towards the Fratton end in the second half that we're going to move the ball a little bit quicker. We asked for the ball to come into the box a bit earlier, and we wanted more bodies and more runners in there in order for us to get the final touch to sort of set us off and get the first goal. So they were the sort of reasons behind it. A very good performance by the team overall.
What was said at half time, because it was 0-0 and you had to be patient, but it's not as easy to be patient on days like today.
No, like I said just before, we do fancy ourselves going towards the home end, the front end in the second half. Just the tempo builds, the energy builds, the crowds start, and it sort of ends up like that, you know, half sucking the ball into the net for you, which is great. On the other side, the flip side, you've got to concentrate defensively and make sure that you don't concede on a breaker or a counter attack and or a set piece today, because they were, with the size and power of their team, there was dangers from any set play moments. Throw-ins, long throws, corners, deep free kicks, all those sort of things. So you just know going towards our home end, the tempo is going to rise and we are going to get some chances, especially when we move the ball a bit quicker and throw it into the box a bit earlier.
What can you say about that double substitution? Because when two players are thrown on and one sets up a goal and one scores, I think that counts as a successful change.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'm glad you noticed that. And I'm sure the fans did as well. But of course, we've got a very good squad of players. And luckily for us at the moment, basically nearly every player is fit. We have, you know, people who are not in the squad today, Ollie Hawkins and Rico, for example, and others, you know, who haven't made the bench even. So I really hope we can get a bit of lady luck and for that to continue. And in terms of the substitutions, yeah, I thought the manager got things right. It wasn't quite early on going our way in the second half, like it normally is, as we usually start off very well going to the front end in the early part of the second half. Didn't quite end up that way. I think the changes did confirm. Ross coming on just gives us a little bit more offensive play down that right flank. And as you allude to, he put in a fantastic cross, dug it out by the corner flag. It was a great cross to get to the back post. So that was a good change and that was a good moment for us. And then for John to come on and score, I think it's probably his first goal in the home end will do his will help him and helped us get over the line today. So the manager, yeah, done well for two changes.
What was the thinking behind Stein Evans at 10 today?
I think, like, and Kenny's pre-match notes, or even a call him interviews, he was calling for the team to come up with some more shots. And one thing, when you play Gareth Evans in that 10 role, he comes up with shots, he comes up with crosses. He's, again, a very offensive player, especially in the final third, and can come up with shooting opportunities. He himself can score left foot, right foot, as we've seen countless times here before. And and that was the reason to get him in the side, just to make us a bit more offensive. And just, he is part of a midfield and part of a midfielder as well, rather than, say, go the whole hog and have another centre forward there. So that was the reason for Gareth.
What can you say about this team's ability to grind out results?
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, if I'm honest, that ability is a great ability, because in the winter, it's not nice. And, you know, during the course of a season, the season is played in the winter, the majority of the time. There's August, isn't there? And then there's, you know, it's obvious. So you have to, things aren't pretty. You're coming off the back of a really hectic, busy Christmas schedule. And we haven't stopped. We're going into, you know, January was hectic, eight games coming this month. Saturday, Tuesdays now for 6 weeks on the trot. And at times it's just not going to be pretty. And the ability to grind out results and grind out wins is the ability you need and required in order to be successful.
Finally, it must be a bit of a dilemma, but have you decided how strong you're going to go Tuesday night yet?
Yes, look, I'm pretty sure that we're going to, you know, I don't pick the team. Kenny's, we've spoken about it. We're going to go for the best team we can. There's no resting. It's going to be treated like a league game. It's just, we're going to pick the best team. But I think, you know, during a lot of the Leeson.com games, we've picked very, very good teams. You couldn't say we've rested that many players at times. We've played some, you know, what I'd call your best team. Our best team will be playing on Tuesday night. We want to win the game. It's going to be very tough, but we want to win the game and we want to get to Wembley, just like Exeter do. So, you know, in order for us to achieve that, we're going to have to play very well. They're doing very well themselves, aren't they?
Joe Gallen there with his reflection on Pompey's win at the weekend. Let's bring Josh into the conversation now. Josh, great to have you back on the show, and under very nice circumstances too, because an air of uncertainty seems to have been lifted at Fratton Park recently.
Yeah, it has. I mean, towards the start of the season, when we couldn't really get those 3 points over the line, we were drawing games at home, and you instantly thought it's going to be another one of those seasons where promotion is a bit questionable. But last couple of weeks, we put the results together and we've looked like a team that really should be pushing the automatics. And it's we've got games in hand. I'd much rather points on the board, but it's there for the taking.
Yeah. It gives me great pleasure now to welcome Donald Vass onto the show, treasurer of the Pompey Supporters Trust. Donald, thanks for joining us this evening.
Good evening, thanks for having me.
Donald, what did you make of Saturday's game then? The win sure was needed after the midweek defeat to Coventry City. I think that's fair to say.
I think exactly right. For me, it was a really calm and reassuring performance. I think if you are a more pessimistic fan, there's quite a lot of reasons to feel a little bit worried about Saturday. Obviously, we had the sort of wet and windy conditions. We had the sort of question marks over how would we recover from this setback after, you know, first loss after 9 wins. And I think to see the team perform so calmly and just to sort of really get a good grip on the game early on and just sort of grind out that important win, I think was fantastic to see, and shows a lot of character from the side.
Yeah. Pompey's win, they've won now 7 consecutive home matches following Saturday's victory, Josh, for the first time since the title-winning season of 2002-2003. A good omen, maybe?
It is. I mean, if you're going to get promoted, then you have to have good form at home. Our away form, it's been good recently, but start of the season, it's not great. And as much as our home performances will be the big difference, we've got a lot of away games to come against top 7 or 8 teams, which I think will be the defining reason of whether we go up or not.
Pompey Pedro on Twitter has got involved, saying, "Credit where it's due to two people who I've criticised this season. Sean Raggett was solid on Saturday. Kenny Jackett with very positive subs, which completely changed the game. Professional performance, got the job done." And he's right, Donald, because the first half was quite a struggle to watch, but the gaffer turned it around in the second and knew exactly what Pompey needed to secure all 3 points.
I think exactly that, and it is so reassuring to see that Kenny Jackett has kind of learned from what I think I'd call some of the mistakes of earlier in the season. I think back particularly to that Coventry game where we sort of squandered a two-goal advantage to 10 and then 9 men. And I think a lot of the fans' criticism after that game was about, did we make positive substitutions? Did we make early enough substitutions? And to see Marquis and McCrory come on, you know, after an hour to both have an impact on the game showed that actually it's not just the players that have improved over the past few months. I think actually Kenny Jackett's shown that he's learning from mistakes that have come earlier as well.
You've got to give him a lot of credit as well, Josh, for the way that he read the game. He adapted the tactics to swing it into our favour. He didn't wait until it was too late to make the subs either. Like Donald's touched upon there, maybe learning from some of the horrors at the start of the campaign and towards the end of last season too.
100%, and people around me, it's always been the biggest criticism of Jackett that he doesn't freshen things up. Even when we're leading games 1-0, a bit of energy, he tends to sit back and just let the 11 out there continue and try and slug it out. But it's made a big difference, and I definitely think Saturday, I thought personally, Harrison, he had a great second half, but he did struggle against the physicality of their centre-halves in the first half, and he needed someone alongside him or playing just off him that was going to get forward a bit more. And bringing on Marquis and McCrory definitely made a huge difference.
One of those late players introduced was the returning Ross McCrory, as Josh mentions there, Donald. He played very well on his first game back from injury, his first appearance in 13 games following that hamstring injury that he picked up, and a good performance from him as well.
I think something he really brings to the side is that ability to kind of break the lines and get the ball forward and moving out of defence. And I think the ability to sort of carry the ball out like that is probably something that, you know, since Matt Clark has left, we've kind of been lacking, particularly in the earlier parts of the season. And I think having someone like him that's happy to sort of get foot on the ball and take it out and get it moving forward positively is something we've really missed during those early parts of the season. So good to have him back.
Has what you showed on Saturday maybe thrown the future of James Bolton up in the air, Josh? Because now the manager must have quite the selection headache when it comes to picking a right back.
I think he does. I think for me, Bolton's actually been one of our best players in recent weeks. From where he was at the start of the season, a bit like Raggett, a lot of injury problems and trying to get back and couldn't quite get that constant flow of performances. But for me, he's been brilliant recently. But he doesn't quite offer you what McCrory does going forward. It's very much one of those that I think Bolton's better suited away from home. I think McCrory's better suited at home when we're attacking and on the front foot. So for me, I would stick with Bolton, but I think McCrory could have a big part to play for the rest of the season.
Adam Dark tweets, a good, solid League One win that. Grounded out, Naylor and McGeehan give us such a better platform, sorry. And Sean Raggett, what have you become? It's like Carl Dickinson turning into Roberto Carlos before your very eyes. And sometimes, Donald, you need to win a game by grinding up a result, don't you? Rather than, you know, storming to victory. That's exactly what the Blues have shown they are capable of doing recently.
I have to say, something I was really pleased about on Saturday was to see us score a couple of goals from open play, because I think, you know, in this amazing turn of form we've had, we've been, if anything, perhaps a little bit over-reliant on set plays. We've had so many goals that have come from Steve Seddon's set pieces or Ronan Curtis's set pieces. And actually, it's really great just to sort of get a couple of monkeys off about there, like Mark was scoring at the front end, getting a couple of goals from open play there. And I think, you know, it just really sets us on a good footing going forward.
Yeah. Just for one goal conceded in our last 6 league games now, Josh, something you tweeted after the game on Saturday. The Blues must be doing something right, not just in the attacking sense, but actually at the back as well now.
Yeah, and I think one of the main reasons is that Jackett's got 4 players who he's constantly relying on now. During the season before, it was mix and match at who was playing at left-back, who was playing at right-back, and who was partnering Burgess, to be honest. Hawkins even dropping back there. But Raggett and Burgess now have a complete understanding, and if one of them's not there, then the other is. And defensively, we look so much more assured.
Yeah. 10th win in 2020 on Saturday. 1 draw and 1 defeat, of course, last week to Coventry City. Donald, bounce-back ability springs to mind.
It really is key, the fact that we can pick ourselves up after that disappointing defeat on Tuesday and get ourselves back up going again. We've got a really tricky run of fixtures. You know, we've got an awful lot of games and an awful lot of tricky games, particularly away. And so to be able to recover from a setback like that is going to be important, because, you know, there are going to be times in the run-in we might drop points, we might lose games, and knowing that we've got the strength of character to come back from that is really key.
Donald, Josh, thank you. We'll come back to you in just a few moments' time. Since Express FM first hit the airwaves 14 years ago, the Football Hour has remained a constant platform for you back home, the Pompey fans, to voice your opinions on the latest events at the club. And this evening, we're of course allowing you to do just that. Is Alex Bass Pompey's best goalkeeper? Is he ready for the step up to the Championship? Should the Blues win promotion this year? What has been the influence behind this incredible start to 2020? And let us know how you feel about the news to name the new Pompey and the Community project in partnership with the Supporters Trust and Moneyfields Football Club after the late John Jenkins MBE, who is set to have a new stadium named in his honour. You can get in touch by either texting the word express followed by your name and message to 81400, by emailing pompey@expressfm.com or including @expressfm within your tweets. We'll be going through your interaction as well as hearing from Pompey and the Community's Claire Martin when we return in just a few moments' time.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Hello and welcome to part two of the show, which is brought to you by Stagecoach Across the South. Need to get in and around the city without a fuss? Then hop on a Stagecoach bus. They provide cheap, reliable and frequent fares across Pompey and even further afield too if you fancy venturing any further along the coast. Maybe you fancy a trip to Bognor Regis or even as far as Brighton. Visit stagecoach.co.uk to find out more information. Last week it was revealed that Pompey and the Community's new £3.5 million sports complex, based on the current site of Moneyfields Football Club, will be named in memory of D-Day veteran John Jenkins MBE. PITC, for short, runs over 50 different projects per year, helping over 36,000 people in our community in the process. 6,000 youngsters are being coached every week during term times and even throughout the school holidays, with summer and Easter camps proving to be successful. Recently, they have been struggling to provide the necessary facilities required to keep these schemes running and further strengthen their support of the community. Pompey in the Community needs a new home, and in partnership with local non-league football club Moneyfields, they'll be hoping to build a new base. But they need the help of the community to raise the money, with the Pompey Supporters Trust offering Pompey in the Community £250,000 to match fund with this crowdfunding. So say, for example, you're generous enough to even give a pound of your own money towards the project, that will become too. Your help will go a long way in securing the long-term future of football and sport for generations to come. And if you do wish to donate to the Crown Fund, simply head over to @PompeyITC on Twitter or facebook.com/PompeyITC, where you can find the relevant links. In donating £5 or more, you'll even be entered into a draw to win tickets to the FA Cup fifth round tie at home to Arsenal on March the 2nd. On Thursday morning, our very own Mason Jordan caught up with Pompey and the Community Chief Executive Claire Martin on Portsmouth Breakfast to speak about the project.
I think, as well, if you name a stand, it's kind of transient because things change. You know, we had the Linvoy Primer stand and it didn't stay for very long. And I think that's almost worse than not. So together we sort of thought, well, this now is a destination. So I think it will stay forever because, you know, you won't be going here or there. You'll be going to the John Jenkins Stadium. And I think that's what makes it so special for all of us. And also with Moneyfields and Pompey in the Community and Pompey Women all playing there, it was more like we're Moneyfields going to play at Pompey in the Community, da da da. Now we're all playing on an equal grounding at the John Jenkins Stadium, so it would be brilliant. And for me, I know I have got so much work to do in the next couple of years. I just feel now I'm doing it for John, so somehow it makes it easier.
Claire Martin there, an integral part of Pompey in the Community machine and undoubtedly one of the most respectable names out there when it comes to supporting football and education in our local area. Claire spoke there, Donald, about the legacy that John Jenkins leaves behind, because he gave so much not only to the football club as a boardroom steward, of course, but to the community and the nation, of course, fighting on the front line, experiencing D-Day firsthand. What a great way to honour a fantastic man.
I think John Jenkins is just absolutely synonymous with Portsmouth. You know, so many aspects of the city he really represents so proudly. As you said there, you know, clearly a war veteran and war hero himself. He routinely made his way down to the football club. You know, the boardroom at Fratton Park's been renamed in his honour as well. But I just think he represents so much that is good about our city, and I'm really glad that this project can honour that.
Yeah. The facility as well will bring a lot to the community, as John once did, Josh. And it's also good to see the incredible work that Pompey and the community are doing around the city. You know, even before this project, they do such a fantastic job of keeping kids, you know, entertained, keeping them in school and keeping them up to date with their local sports facilities.
100%, and I think it's no secret the amount of job work that they do. They win countless awards and are recognised continuously for all the hard work they put in. And something like this will be a real, real positive for the city. It's not just somewhere that kids can train, but it's going to, as mentioned, benefit the ladies' team, it's going to benefit Moneyfield, and it's benefit everyone else. So there's going to be another facility where everyone can take part and get into football as well.
But it features as well, of course, a first-team football pitch for Moneyfield, the stadium being renamed for John Jenkins Stadium, but also two of the latest 3G all-weather pitches, a boxing gym, a dance studio, social club, multi-use games area, flexible classrooms and many more facilities too, which, of course, haven't been announced yet, Donald. But it's not just football here. This is the wider community and helping youngsters in our local area to be brought up right.
I have to say, I think an awful lot of people in the community don't necessarily know just how much work the charity Pompey in the Community do. As you mentioned there, they work with 6,000 kids a week in terms of their term time, sports coaching, things like that, but they do so much more as well. They have so many education programmes, they've got health programmes. I know, for example, they have a dementia support group called Life and Chimes. They do walking football, they do disability football, even things like cooking classes, actually, to help sort of people get back on their feet if they need it and help people to kind of learn how to cook healthy meals of their own. You know, you mentioned there it's been the community club of the year, not just in the south, and although we do always beat them down the road, but actually, you know, nationally as well. This is the charity that Claire's put together is so incredible, and what they do is really, really amazing. Just one project in particular which really stands out for me, which again I think really flew under the radar a little. I don't think many people know about this. I'm sure many listeners will remember the disorder at the Oldham game back in 2017. And I think it was about 30 or 40, you know, mainly young lads got arrested that day, and they had their, got arrested subsequently, and they had their sort of faces plastered all over the news and everything. They could have been, they could have ended up with a police record, but actually Pompey in the Community sort of swept them up in conjunction with the police, put together a scheme where they could go through some sort of work with some reformed offenders. They met some previous kind of previously convicted people, and they sort of heard from them about how their life had gone since. They did some community coaching, and through that scheme, those young lads, rather than ending up with a police record, actually they all now sort of, you know, they're considered reformed characters. They've all got their season tickets back, and I think that's just such a great example of how Pompey in the Community is helping so many different aspects of our city.
Fantastic. And Donald, you're a part of the Supporters Trust yourselves. Tell us a bit more about your role and what the PST are doing to help this.
So obviously this is a hugely ambitious project. It's £3.5 million, the total cost, and clearly that's an awful lot of money. Now, Pompey in the Community, they're not directly funded by the football club, although the football club do support them, but they can get access through their links with the football club to an awful lot of grants and funding and match funding. So Sport England, for example, have said, you know, if you get this off the ground, we will partly fund it. But what Pompey in the Community really needed in order to get this going was their own kind of seed capital, and in order for a charity to raise that was clearly going to be really, really tricky. So what Pompey Supporters Trust have done is, with some of the surplus money that we had left over after the sale of the football club, we are looking to donate that and give that to Pompey in the Community as part of this project. And the way that we're going to do that is, we're going to give up to £250,000, as you described, match funding to what other people raise throughout this campaign. So if you go onto the website and you donate £10, we will make that into 20, and that in turn will actually kind of unlock the key, if you like, for Pompey in the Community to then access all sorts of grants and match funding and, you know, public money. So actually the money that you donate really will go far. You know, we will double it as the Supporters Trust, but also it then unlocks that key to so many other grants and pots of money from sort of public bodies. So I really would encourage anyone listening to this, your money is going to be so worthwhile. It's going to do so much good in the community, and it will go so far as well, because the money that you do donate will grow and grow using this match funding.
Excellent to hear, Donald. And I'm reading now, just over 5,000, I think, has been raised so far since the crowdfund was put out last Wednesday.
It's a fantastic start.
And already kicked off.
Pompey and Community have all sorts of different ideas and projects that they're going to be launching alongside this as well. Like, I know, for example, they're going to have a whole wave of runners at the Great South Run where you can get a special kind of Pompey race number, and I think they're talking about possibly some Pompey running jerseys and things as well. So all kinds of different ways that you can help raise money over the coming months.
It's important, Josh, as well, for the Pompey in the community, for the Pompey women to have a base to train as well, but for the youngsters, for the amputees, for the the disabled teams as well, to have a home. Because reading here in the statement, they spend over £120,000 a year hiring pitches for the programmes they run for 36,000 children and adults through the community. So that's a hell of a lot of money to be not wasting. Of course, it goes to a very good cause, but it's a fantastic lot of money saved having their own home.
Well, if you think about the work that they do currently, spending that money, and you think if you save £120,000, and that can be reinvested in other avenues, then just what they can do, sort of sky's your limit. So, and especially we're seeing at the moment that women are continuously having games called off, and their schedule is just completely piling on them. So something like that, on 3G pitches, which will play in any weather, it will be absolutely perfect.
Yeah. Don't forget, we'd love to hear the thoughts from you back home too on this subject. What do you think about the decision to rename the new facility in honour of the late John Jenkins MBE? How do you feel about all of the benefits this project is set to bring to the local community? Text Express and your message to 81400 if you want to share your opinions or stories. You can email pompey@expressfm.com or find us on Twitter at Express FM. Looking further into how it will help with the local community as well, Donald, Moneyfields chairman Pete Sidon has come out in the club statement praising the project, saying that the club would have 100% folded if the ground development plans had been thrown out, which is quite a powerful comment.
It was something they originally looked at doing independently. Moneyfield wanted to sort of redevelop their ground on their own, and that was something they originally looked into. I think it's fair to say that just simply wasn't going to be viable for them. They looked into the costs and they needed to be kind of attached to a bigger project. And I think it really opened the door for Pompey and the community to sort of come in and actually make this an even bigger thing. Pompey and the community, I know they were actually looking for a site to do something similar to this for a long, long time. And when Moneyfields actually said, maybe this could work in partnership with you, it was just a no-brainer. It just works so well for everyone. As Josh has described, I think it gives some opportunities for Pompey women to train there and perhaps even have some sort of, have it as a kind of backup football ground if needed. Moneyfields are going to get their matches played on it. Pompey and the community, of course, are going to have sort of main use of the pitches during the week for their coaching and things. There are so many people that benefit from this.
And a question here from Jack on the emails, Donald. I'm going to ask you this one. In terms of the current location of the Pompey in the community base on Anson Road near Fratton Park, what will happen to that? Will that remain part of Pompey in the community, or will it totally move to this new base?
I hope I don't speak out. I'm not speaking out to anyone. I believe I'm right in saying that will remain open, and that will. For example, I know they have kitchen facilities there. They've got sort of meeting rooms and things there. As best I know, I believe they are staying open. They are staying part of Pompey in the community. But a lot of their kind of headquarters and main work will move across to the new site, I believe.
Donald, thank you so much for coming in and talking to us about the new John Jenkins Stadium in partnership with the Pompey Community, Pompey Supporters Trust and Moneyfields Football Club as well. Let's hear once more then from Claire Martin, who, as well as overseeing operations at PITC, is Vice Chair of the Pompey Supporters Trust as well. Here is the rest of her interview from last Thursday's Portsmouth Breakfast Show. Claire told Mason more about the functions of the facility.
Very exciting. Quite terrifying, because we've got an awful lot of work to do, not just from the funding side of things, but just getting it right and making sure that we're working with everybody. And I think when you're doing a partnership project like this, that's so important as well. But the excitement is the best bit, because the city is so lacking in facilities. My lad plays for our development teams under 14s, and we had to have a Hampshire Cup match. We had to play it on a Saturday because things had been delayed. The closest pitch that we had that was playable was Reading. I mean, it's nuts. So, yeah, I mean, our BTEC teams that play on a Wednesday afternoon, their home team on a weekly basis, their home ground is in Alton. Our Saturday, our home ground is over in Bay House in Gosport. All our training is just disparate. It's spread out everywhere because there just aren't the pitches available. So to have this, not only will provide the facility for Moneyfields and ourselves and Pompey Women to train, but then that will free up the other facilities where we're training currently for other grassroots and other teams. So, yeah, I mean, the city could do with, I think, the playing pitch strategy the FA are doing, showing a six pitch deficit, which means if they built six or seven pitches, they'd still all be full.
The thing about Portsmouth is there is no space, but this space has been partly gifted to you. Yes,
so Moneyfields are working with the property developer. They're building houses on an acre and then gifting Pompey and the community the remaining 6 acres on which to develop this site. Moneyfields have been working on this project for a long time, but they just didn't have the ability to lever in the funding that we do. So, you know, it's a proper partnership project. They've got their pitch allocation. They'll be training there. They'll be playing their matches. We'll be training there. We'll be playing our matches. And quite a lot of what we do, we'll be doing it together.
Claire Martin there speaking to Mason Jordan on Portsmouth Breakfast. Head over to Pompey8ITC on Twitter or facebook.com/PompeyITC if you want to help out and donate to their cause. After the break, the three of us will be moving the conversation along to tomorrow night's game under the lights as Pompey prepare to take on Exeter City at Fratton Park in the EFL Trophy semi-finals. We'll have all of the information you need ahead of a tie with an extended build-up of the match to come in just a few moments' time. Be sure to get involved with the discussion this evening. You have just under 20 minutes to do so. Let us know your score predictions as well. 81400 is the number to text. Start your messages with the word Express. You can email pompey@expressfm.com or send us a tweet at expressfm is where to find us on Twitter. Should Kenny go strong all week tomorrow night, with Wembley possibly just 90 minutes away? Do you want to see the Blues become the first side ever to retain the trophy? Or do you simply not care? And would you rather the gaffer focus on league matters? Is it too far in the competition to worry about fixture congestion? Should Pompey just go on and try to win it again now they are so close to the final? We've got all of that and more to come in the third and final part of the show. Stick around for more of a debate here on the Monday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening and welcome back to Express FM, the only radio station from the great waterfront city. You're listening to the Football Hour, which is driven to you this season by Stagecoach across the South. Download the app today to plan your next journey. It's time now to look ahead to Pompey's next fixture and awaiting the Blues at Fratton Park for tomorrow night's EFL Trophy semi-final tie is Exeter City.
It's another break from League One and back to EFL Trophy action for the Blues, who of course are the holders of the title, having beaten Sunderland on penalties at Wembley last March. Now it's time for the semi-finals, and standing in the way of Pompey and another visit to the home of football is League Two high flyers Exeter City.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
Kenny Jackett's side started 2020 by going 10 games unbeaten before suffering a sucker punch defeat away to Coventry City last Tuesday. In this competition, the Blues seem to always find a way to win. Having been victorious in each of the last 14 matches, they were last defeated in the EFL Trophy by Chelsea under-21s in January 2018. Despite being a division below Pompey, we can assure you that Exeter will be no rollover, and a tough test awaits us at the Fortress.
Manager.
Young, inexperienced manager Matt Taylor is the man in the opposing dugout this time around. The 38-year-old is not to be confused with former Pompey icon Matty Taylor, who incidentally is also 38 years of age. This Taylor never played for the Blues, instead running out for the likes of Charlton Athletic, Bradford City and even Exeter themselves for 4 years between 2007 and 2011. He spent most of his playing career in non-league. Taylor was appointed as the Exeter boss in June 2018, replacing fans' favourite Paul Tisdale at St James's Park, who had held the position for a hugely respectable 12 years before departing for MK Dons. So this is the first managerial job that Matt Taylor has ever taken on.
One to one.
Certainly one to keep an eye on this week is number 14, Nicky Adjose. Although the striker has only scored 2 goals in 11 appearances for Exeter in League 2 this campaign, he has scored 3-3 in this competition. Not only this, but the now 28-year-old always seemed to be on the score sheet when playing against the Blues for previous club, Charlton Athletic. Oh yes, he's one of those players that always seems to come back and haunt us time and time again. Be sure to also watch out for former Pompey players Lee Holmes and Nigel Atanga, You know what they said about players coming back to face their old clubs.
Top scorer.
28-year-old striker Ryan Bowman is Exeter's leading scorer in the fourth tier with 12 goals to his name. The Cumbrian-born forward has scored one more goal in the FA Cup but has yet to score in this competition for Exeter, despite featuring in four of their six games so far. One of those 13 goals scored in League Two was a penalty, though it is apparent that Bowman is not Exeter's first choice when it comes to spot kicks.
Current form.
It goes without saying, Exeter are a decent side and they've been knocking on the League One door for many seasons now. They've suffered playoff final heartbreak on numerous occasions and can never seem to get over the line and make it back to the third tier. However, that all looks set to change this time. The team in red and white are currently second in League Two and have been consistent in and around the automatics all season long, after missing out on the playoffs altogether in 2019. Taylor's side are hitting form right when it matters too. They've won three on the bounce, including a 5-1 romp over Oldham Athletic just a week ago. Away from home, they boast the second best away record in the league, behind only leaders Swindon Town on goal difference. However, we all know how good Pompey are here at Fratton Park. Only once have they been defeated on home turf since the start of the campaign, and that was to Premier League opposition. So it really is a clash of the titans. Can the Blues reach the Wembley final for a second season running? Find out and join us for all of the unmissable action as it unfolds right here on 93.7 Express FM and I Follow Pompey for Pompey Live.
A deeper look into their tomorrow evening's opponents, and it's Exeter who stand in the way of the Blues and another appearance in the trophy final, which, by the way, takes place on Sunday the 5th of April. There's the date for your diaries, if, of course, Pompey can overcome the Grecians. Let's read out some tweets coming into us this evening. Finlay Whitfield says, 3 points, 3 subs, and Big John gets his Fratton goal on Saturday. Considering tired legs and the size of the game on Tuesday, does Kenny make any changes? That's a question I'm going to throw over to you, Josh. Well, does he, should he, will he?
I hope he does, personally, because I think our running is going to be an absolute nightmare. I think we're in a great position where we can rotate the squad and still put out a very strong team. I think if you compare it to last year, our squad depth is a lot better, and we could make 7 or 8 changes and still play a very good team that is capable of beating Exeter.
The question is, who gets changed around if Kenny is to make a few changes tomorrow night? Donald, he's come out in the press today, and said that he wants to field a strong side in this semi-final. He wants to go all the way. It's clear to see that him, you know, the club, and I think a lot of fans, the vast majority, actually want us to go on, you know, get to Wembley, possibly win the trophy again, and by the way, become the first ever team to retain the title, which would be a fairly decent achievement. But who would get changed? Is it fair to drop one person over another when so many players are on such a good run of form at the moment?
I've got to say, I completely agree with Josh when we say, I think we probably do need to make some changes. You know, you've heard Jurgen Klopp and Pep Guardiola talking recently about their sort of huge fixture pile-up that they've got. Well, actually, if Pompey get through to the final tomorrow and possibly reach the playoffs as well, we're going to be over 60 games this year. We're going to be over 60 games, maybe even as many as 63, maybe more than that if we beat Arsenal. Man City and Liverpool, they'd need to reach the Champions League final to be even kind of equaling that. We are playing a lot of games this season, and so for me, I'd be looking to those players that have played the most, Burgess, Naylor, Curtis. I'd be taking them out because actually I think, you know, injuries are going to catch up with us, and I think, you know, we would probably all around the room here and listening at home say the league is our priority this year, and if we can rest a few tired legs and make sure that we're not picking up those injuries later in the season, that's got to be worthwhile.
The league are bread and butter. Donald Vass, the opinion of Donald there on the EFL Trophy semi-final tomorrow. Now let's get to some more of the text tweets and emails coming in to us. Mark on the text says, well done to the owners for keeping Kenny when he come under a lot of pressure earlier on in the season. Thank you to Mark for texting in with that one. Stephen Jerome says, I think we should field a strong side against Exeter tomorrow. We are so close to another trip to Wembley now and could become the first club to win the league trophy 2 seasons in a row. So why wouldn't we want to go out and win it? It'll be a tough game, I think, but I'm going to go for a 2-1 Pompey win. Graham Wilkins says, as far as tomorrow night goes, I expect a few changes from Kenny, considering the amount of games coming up, but he will still field a strong team with strong backup on the bench. Also, the crowd, I believe, will be the biggest for a while in this trophy, and another Wembley trip would be great for Blues fans. So let's go for it and keep this run going. Also, my wife wants for bragging rights over her sister who lives in Exeter. Well, Graham, if that's not a reason good enough, then I don't know what is. Thank you, Graham, for getting my email into us. And one of the points he mentions there is the strength of Pompey's team at the moment, Josh, even looking at the bench over the last couple of matches, we've got this great strength in depth now that even if Kenny does make 4, 5, 6 changes, it could still look like a very strong Pompey team on Tuesday night.
It could, and I think you could very much argue that every single player on our bench on Saturday would walk into the majority of the teams, maybe not in the top six, but definitely outside the top six in the league. So we're very blessed in having that strength in depth. I think as we go further into the season, it's going to be something that we have to call upon, because the amount of games we have left to play, admittedly international call-ups have caused this, but I mean even Oxford at the end of the month could still potentially be called off. So it's something that it's great to have, and it's something that will have to be called upon as we look to get promoted.
Pompey Pedros once again tweeted in saying McCrory looks comfortably the best right back option at the club, whereas Ryan Lewis reckons defensively James Bolton is the better option. An interesting new debate there, Donald. We touched on it at the start of the show. James Bolton, Ross McCrory, two players at the right back position who, you know, James Bolton's come into a little bit of form recently, McCrory coming back from injury, performing well on Saturday afternoon. How on earth do you kind of select these two players?
It's a great problem to have, isn't it? I'm sure, you know, it's only a few weeks ago we were sort of thinking about that Barnsley right back and thinking, oh, you know, maybe we could improve. And actually, you know, in so many positions now, you know, places where we would perhaps have wanted to have strengthened a month or two ago, we suddenly seem well stocked with players. I think, you know, if Burgess and Raggett need a rest tomorrow, you know, we've potentially got Jack Watmore coming in to make a start. You know, what an incredible backup option to have there. We've got so many really, really high quality substitutes and sort of reserves. You know, you mentioned there our bench on Saturday. It would have made a great seven-a-side side, honestly. You know, we've got amazing players right across the squad, and I think I'd feel very comfortable rotating tomorrow.
Looking at Pompey's record in this competition recently, then, Josh, 14 consecutive victories for Kenny Jackett's side. Their last defeat, January 2018, a 2-1 loss at home to Chelsea under-21s in the round of 32. Kenny likes this competition, and Pompey equally too as well, and it's no surprise that we find ourselves yet again in this situation.
Yeah, Kenny loves it, and so do Pompey. And it, for me, it's one of those things that if we got knocked out in the group stages, I wouldn't have any issue with it. Probably shake your hand, we're done with it. We've got plenty of free Tuesdays now, and this season it probably would have been quite helpful. But as you get further and further in the competition, and you're now in a semi-final, one game away from Wembley, you don't want to come across and lose that. You want to go and have a great day out.
Josh mentions very quickly that, like, midweek fixtures and maybe even fixture congestion, Donald. There is a possibility of these mass amount of fixtures getting in the way of promotion, maybe, some have suggested. The Blues have 9 home games remaining in all competitions between now and the end of the season, only 2 of which are 3 p.m. Saturday kickoffs, with the other 7 either midweek or Friday night matches. And if Pompey beat Exeter tomorrow, then the home clash with Bristol Rovers on Saturday the 4th of April will need to be moved somewhere else due to the final taking place a day later. So that's something we don't particularly want to see.
That's right, yeah. But of course, it all depends on how we're getting on. If we're winning games, then, you know, the players aren't going to mind one bit. That'll all be building momentum, and it will be kind of charging towards the top of the table. I think it's worth saying that Exeter have a similar problem themselves. You know, they're second, they're fighting for promotion too. And I know their manager's been talking about making changes tomorrow as well. They've got a big game away at Northampton on Saturday. I'm sure they'll be in a very similar position to us, wanting to rest players and keep their eye and their main focus on the league too.
Yeah, and just quickly before we do move on, Josh, Pompey's incredible home record this season across all competitions, only 1 defeat across all of those competitions. So hopefully we can maintain that tomorrow evening.
Yeah, teams don't like coming down to Fratton Park, and it's great that we can have such a strong home force. But, yeah, fingers crossed, everything will go okay.
Yeah. Josh, Donald, thank you. Looking forward to tomorrow night's game. Of course, you can catch all of the unmissable action tomorrow night from 7 p.m. Myself, Liam Howes, and Ryan Stillwell live from Fratton Park to bring you all of the action. Before we leave you tonight, I'd like to just take a moment to remember Barry Hernshaw and Will Hallett, who on this day 2 years ago were both tragically killed when their car collided with an oncoming train at a level crossing in Barnes Green, just outside of Horsham. 72-year-old Barry was driving his grandson Will, aged just 15 at the time, to football on the morning of February 17th, 2018, when the incident occurred. This was the same day that Pompey fans were travelling to Southend United for an away trip in the club's first season back in League One. I, like many other Blues fans, was on a passing train which had to evacuate on the tracks just metres away from the wreckage, and I'm sure I'm not the only one out there who is still haunted by what I saw on that day. So, to Barry Hearnshaw and Will Hallett, may you both continue to rest in peace. The thoughts of us all at Express FM, and indeed the wider Pompey community, will forever be with you both and your family when this day comes around every year. Okay, let's move on now to some score predictions coming into us this evening ahead of tomorrow night's semi-final at home to Exeter. On Facebook, John Mumford is going for a 3-1 win, while Becky Bennett predicts a 4-1 win to the Blues, and Tim Sanders says 2-1 Pompey. Elsewhere, Stephen Rolfe predicts 4-0 win for Pompey. Rick Jewell is going for a 2-0, while Tony Liddell reckons the Blues will lose on penalties. Those are the predictions of you back home. Now I'm going to come to Josh and Donald. Josh first, what do you reckon?
I think 2-1. Quite tight. They're not as bad as we think they are, but yeah, 2-1.
2-1 says Josh. Donald, a prediction from you, if I may?
Exeter have more clean sheets than anyone else in the EFL. They've got 15, so I'm expecting quite a tight game. We're strong defensively, so are they. I'm going to go for 1-0 Pompey, scraping through to Wembley.
So Josh says 2-1. Donald is going for a 1-0 win. Gents, thank you. I'm going to go for a 2-1 Pompey win. Therefore a place in this year's final. 2-1 to Pompey for tomorrow night. Okay, once again, my thanks this evening go out to Josh Sweetman and Donald Fass for joining me on what has been a very busy but very enjoyable hour of Pompey talk. I'm afraid we've run out of time for now. I think we could have gone for another hour with that one. The football discussion may be over for tonight, but there's still plenty more to look forward to this evening. Jeff and Adrian are having a week off, so the Soft Rock Show will not be here from 8 p.m. tonight. However, we have Kevin Stokes waiting in the wings to bring you that 80s show between 8 and 10 p.m. Kevin takes you back to the 80s and delivers 2 hours of great music from that decade, including some songs you may have forgotten about. That's set to be a real nostalgia fest for some of you listening, I'm sure. Robbie James continues to fill in for Mason Jordan on Portsmouth Breakfast tomorrow morning. In fact, he's doing so all week. He'll be here between 6 and 10 a.m. every morning between now and the weekend, with Adam Fremantle helping you through your afternoon tomorrow from 3. I'd also like to quickly thank Henry Deacon for covering me over the past two Fridays to allow me to have some much needed time off. He'll be back from 6 on Wednesday evening for the latest instalment of Over the White Line, all of the latest from the non-league scene. And the Football Hour will be back with me on Friday at the same time of 6 o'clock. I'll be joined by two more Blues fans to look ahead to the trip to Fleetwood Town in the league. But before then, there's a small matter, the EFL Trophy semi-final. Be sure to catch all of the unmissable action tomorrow evening from 7. Myself, Liam and Ryan will be live from Fratton Park for that one. Stick around next vote for the Express 60s, which follows News at 7. Until next time, that's all from me. Thanks for listening and good night.